email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Yvanna Kyo is on the line. How are you doing, Yvanna?
Hi, Ray. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, thanks for taking our call. I'm hearing myself back there. Is there for some reason?
Oh, sorry. I'm on the house phone.
Yeah. And are you on a cordless?
Yes.
And can you... It sounds like there's a speaker with my voice coming out of it or something like that. Is that...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Is the radio on?
No, not at all. Okay, nothing on.
We'll carry on. We so infrequently use landlines now. Because everybody...
This is the first call I've made on the landline in a long time.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. We'll soldier on. Now, you're on to talk about little Oscar, your son.
Yes.
Oscar died...
Beautiful Oscar.
...last July.
Yes. Oscar passed away last July from terminal cancer. He had a brain tumour called DIPG, which grows on the brain stem, and it's been an incredibly tough journey, but we tried our very best when he was diagnosed, and we had the most beautiful year and a half together, and in the year since he's passed away, we've tried our very best to just live as we always have, which is keeping him with us and doing the best we can.
Hmm. I've read your blogs, Yvanna. They're beautifully written. So sad, but so beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're a gifted writer.
Oh, well, thank you. I think it's hard to talk about grief, but when you actually grow through it, you realise how important it is to actually talk about it.
Hmm.
And especially the very most tragic types of grief. And it felt very important to make other parents who are in our situation feel seen and heard, and to talk about the reality of trying to survive the most terrible things that can happen in life. So we got an amazing response from it, and it's so important that it's helped other parents as well. So it's been great.
So yourself and Lar is the we you...
Yeah.
You talk about
my husband Larry. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was... When did you get the diagnosis?
In January 2018, we'd had a few months beforehand of unusual little symptoms that can be very normal for a 3.5-year-old. So we weren't sure, and we saw a few local doctors and a health nurse, and they thought Oscar might be having some issues with progressing with speech and stuff, but they weren't concerned. And then it was that he started having vomiting issues in the morning specifically, and would feel better later on in the day, and we just started to feel that there was something not right. And we ended up bringing him to my own GP, and she said, listen, I want to rule out the worst thing, so go into Temple Street, spend the day there, get all the tests done, and then hopefully just come back to me and we'll work from there. But unfortunately, our lives changed that day, because it did actually turn out to be the worst. So
yeah, so you heard the word cancer, and then you heard the words, it can't be cured.
That was the most surreal moment, because to hear firstly that Oscar had cancer, even now we very rarely even use the word because it seems so shocking. But to hear that he had a type of cancer that we couldn't even fight, that from the get-go we were out of options, was inconceivable. And I think we very quickly realised that we had no control, and that's a very, very overwhelming thing, especially as parents. And the only control we could get was our daily lives. So how are we going to face this as a family? And obviously, because Oscar was so young, he never knew about his diagnosis. He knew he had to go see doctors, but that all little kids have to do that sometimes. So the burden of his diagnosis was ours, and we chose to just make every day special and important, and just embrace what life should be, even though we were terrified. So that's what we did.
Yeah. So Lara didn't give up his job, but he said, I'm out of here. I have to sort something out at home.
Yeah, so- I mean, the amazing thing about being a teacher is you can take a career break and still keep your job. So Lara was able to do that for the year and a half after Oscar was diagnosed. And I had a blog online, and when we said what was happening with Oscar, we had the most incredible followers and other bloggers who went out and donated to a GoFundMe, which was just for fun things, and they raised 40,000 euro for us. So it granted us the time to not be sitting worrying about bills, but to actually just go and live for what was going to be the most important part of our lives. So that's what we did. We went and we had fun, and every day was like a Saturday. And, you know, we did everything we could, and we went to Disneyland with Make-A-Wish and had loads of family holidays. And it was incredible, even though it was really hard.
Yeah. You say in your blog, don't paint a picture of someone by the manner of their passing. Tell me who they were when their lungs were full of breath, their likes and loves and the funny moments of their small passage here.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things we've learned from death, was that as parents, it would be such a disservice to who Oscar was and still is for him to be remembered as, oh, that poor boy who died of cancer, because that's not who he was. And I think it's so important to talk about who a person was when they were alive, because we don't have any control over how and when we die. And so that really shouldn't be how we're remembered. Oscar was all about happiness, and so to remember him in sadness would be wrong. So I think that's a really important thing.
What sort of child was he?
Oh, he was the happiest go-lucky boy. You know, he just wanted to talk to everyone and be a part of everything, and every day was an adventure. And honestly, he gave us the most unbelievable joy and happiness in 5 years and 1 month that he was here. He changed our world, and I think we're just trying to keep his magic going now as well, because, you know, God knows the world needs us. So.
Yes, yeah. You visit the grave all the time.
We do, which I understand to some people may seem a little sad, or, oh God, isn't that awful that they have to do that? But actually, we've got an enormous comfort from us, and it wasn't something we planned to do. But the strangest thing happens when someone you love, like your child, dies, and then there's this flurry of activity around their funeral where you don't even have a moment to think. And then the day after their funeral, you wake up and suddenly there's nothing to do, and you're both sitting there completely shell-shocked and devastated, and you're saying, what do we do now? And the first thing we said was, we'll go down and talk to him. And it just created this little routine that we actually get such enormous comfort and genuine happiness from, because we just sit there and chat. And I know it probably sounds quite strange to say, but it feels like we've two homes now. We have our home here and there, and a part of us stays with him there, and a part of him is always here with us. And I think a graveyard is actually a beautiful place, and it shouldn't be seen as a scary or sad place, because there's actually an enormous amount of comfort to be gotten from it.
I don't know how you and Lara got through this.
I actually don't know.
Yes.
I think it's because you have to. Grief consumes you, and it's completely overwhelming. But if you choose to fight against it, I think you would go mad. And I think the only way you can survive grief is by letting it in and looking after it and letting it be part of you and your life, and accepting that there are things that happen to you in life that you can't fix or change, and just becoming who you have to be, even if it's very hard.
And it's those things that you think happen to other people, not you.
Oh, honestly, the day we sat in the emergency room and Oscar had had a scan and we were waiting for the doctors to come back, and we had in our heads that they were just going to come back and say, listen, it's clear, go home, sorry, you know, you were hanging around here for ages and that would be the end of it. And we were sitting there and a group of doctors came in and we saw them chatting in the corner. And I was certain that one of them pointed over our way. And it was the strangest feeling when we saw them turn and walk towards us and pull the curtain around our bed, because you think, stupidly, but we all do, that terrible things happen to other people. And when you realise in that moment that you were completely wrong and that they can actually happen to you and it is going to happen to you right in this moment, it is staggering. Hmm. But it has taught us so much about how important it is to be kind to everyone, because it is that random. And to get to exist on this earth in the first place is the most beautiful, lucky gift. And we don't have the control we think we have, so all we can do is just make the best of every moment we're lucky enough to have, really.
Those little moments, and you say there would be no more walks together to buy ice creams and stupendously expensive magazines.
You know the magazines, little plastic.
I know the ones.
Dads that are 7 or 8 euros and they're crazy, but the happiness he got from them was worth everything.
No trips to the movies where we gorged on popcorn. How did you and Lara keep up a front for that year and a half?
Honestly, when your child is sitting in front of you, you will do anything to make sure they're not afraid. And his diagnosis was so overwhelming, especially when we knew he couldn't be made better. Mm. And then you realise that what is actually worse in the end than knowing your child is going to die from cancer is thinking that perhaps he will know, or he'll be worried or scared. And you find you will mine whatever depths you have in yourselves as parents to make sure that he doesn't know, that he feels exactly how you should feel in life, that everything is going to be okay. And that was what we did. We did everything in our power to make sure he felt confident and safe and happy. And so much so that when he went to the doctors, of course he didn't like it, but when he came home, it was forgotten about. And every time on TV, if he saw someone in a hospital bed or visiting a doctor, he was like, oh, that's like me. Yeah. And it was a normal thing, not to fear, but to just, doctors
part of
make
life.
You feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was our mantra. So we did it for him. And when he went to bed at night, we cried and we sat there and we just didn't know what to do with ourselves. But what other choice do you have as parents? You know, there was no other option. So,
and this must be a particularly tough time, you know, because all the talk is of children.
Yeah, I mean...
And what stage would he be going into high infants or senior infants?
He would be going into high infants. Yeah. And that's really tough. We actually went because he only got one day at school. And we went and we got a beautiful bookmobile made last year and got all beautiful books that his class would love. And we donated it to his class so that there's something from Oscar in his classroom so he can be a part of the day in some way. And that every time a kid picks up a book, they can go on a little adventure with him somewhere. So it's really hard, but you'll find little ways make things bearable. And it's really hard knowing he'd be in school right now, but also with everything going on, as a sick child we couldn't have even taken the chance.
Course,
so we're very aware of all the other poor families who may not be able to send their kids to school with everything going on, so it's very tough.
He was a big fan of the weather.
Oh yes, a massive fan. He gave very good weather, and when the weather was on, he was there standing up and he'd point, and he was never very accurate with his weather, so you wouldn't go by that, but he had all the moves and he was very cute. So he was fantastic.
Okay.
So he was brilliant. And
so you tweeted this morning after hearing Evelyn Cusack on Morning Ireland.
Yes.
Go on.
So we had seen ages ago that they were looking for new storm names. And instantly we were like, we should put Oscar's name in because he'd love it. I mean, what kid wouldn't love to have a storm named after him? So we did that. And then this morning when we saw the list of names, we were overwhelmed and just had our fingers crossed that it was because of Oscar, because we know he'd absolutely love us.
Yeah. Well, we got on to Met Aaron and their head, Evelyn Cusack, and we asked her, is Oscar, or will Oscar, be named after Oscar Keogh? And she said, yes, most definitely.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it? Isn't that lovely? I hope it's a sort. I hope it's a sort of benign enough storm when
that's
it comes.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful.
So there you go.
That's his magic work, and we always say Oscar has his magic and makes these little things happen. That's amazing.
Does he get you parking spaces?
It wouldn't necessarily be a parking space, but sometimes even when we go to visit him and it's about to rain, we say, Oscar, would you sort that out for 15 minutes and then the sun will come back out. So he can do wonderful things. So
yeah. And I know, just like the books for the school, you aim to do other things in his memory, which will involve fundraising. And we'd be delighted to give you a platform to tell people about that when they arrive.
Oh, well, that would be amazing. I mean, we've tried really hard to create a legacy for him because we want to keep spreading his magic and to help other families that are in similar situations and to help the hospitals and charities that were so good to us while Oscar was sick. So, yeah, we try very hard to do things, and we've done some wonderful fundraising so far, and we hope to do more coming up to Christmas. So we'd love to talk to you again then.
Yeah. And I leave with this line from one of your blogs: love is stronger than grief. And that's...
it's the only thing. It transcends illness and transcends death. Yeah. Love is always unchanged, definitely for us.
Yvanna, mind yourself.
Thank you so much.
A big virtual hug. Okay, see ya. Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.